Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
We are still in the month of Black August. Black August, baby. Black August, celebrating Black August. And on this beautiful day in Black August, we are celebrating the born day, the Earth Day, the rising day, the birthday of the Honorable Marcus Garvey. Woo-hoo. Indeed, indeed. Marcus Garvey, who made Woo-hoo. Us. How Tupac say it? Had me feeling like black was good. Marcus Garvey made us feel like black was good.
Yeah.
Gave people that sense of pride.
Yeah.
People would dress up and their
shoulders back,
UNIA gear, their Sunday best UNIA gear.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't even want to say gear. That's not a good qualified. Their ensemble, their UNIA ensembles.
Yeah,
parade down the street.
You wore gloves. You know, you wore gloves. Ladies wore gloves.
Yeah,
hats. It's nice. It was a good time.
I know. When I look at those pictures, I
just
wonder
a lot of pride.
What would that feel like? What would that have felt like to witness that? Or hopefully, I would like to say that I would have been participating.
Yes. I would have been a part of the UNIA. I would like to think.
If I can go back into my past life, I would love to see, was I an activist? Was I involved in, the Garvey movement? Did I go see Malcolm? You know, I would have been out there marching, rioting. Or, you know, what kind of person was I back then? Because they say we have different lives, so.
Right,
I wonder,
right.
Do you still carry on a lot of those same characteristics and some you just leave behind? I wonder about that. I imagine
you do leave some behind because
you learn
the weaker ones. I would hope you leave behind the stronger ones. The stronger ones you carry, the ones that are good for you, you know, those are things that you've learned in the other past lives, so you take them with you, kick the other dirt aside, you take the good stuff with you. And you know, I think it would stand out more, you know.
Stand out more.
I think it would be more prominent. Like if you were like an activist, that's kind of bold. That's kind of it's kind of hard to go from being an activist to being, you know, sheepish, or, you know, not wanting to be involved. You know, I would think I'm just, you know, speculating that you would still have some of that fire, you know.
Some of that fire.
Yeah.
My fireball that I'm bringing to a my blaze that I'm bringing to a fireball.
That was what I said I would do.
Okay.
Being an Aries, I'm so fiery, so I have to learn how to bring my blaze down to a small fireball.
Do you know? I read. Speaking of your sign, astrology, I read recently that, you know, not only do we choose what we're going to go through and, you know, the experiences that we're going to go through so that we can learn and, you know, be a more authentic selves, we also choose, like, the astrological month that we want to come in through, because those traits carry the traits that you need to do what you need to do while you're here. Isn't that interesting?
It makes a lot
of
sense.
It didn't just happen that, you know, I came here in July. You know, I came here on the cusp, like leaving Cancer. They trying to pull me to Cancer. I'm like, no, I want to be a Leo, you know. So I'm right on the cusp, you know. So it's like I chose that. So that was kind of interesting to think, you know.
That is. But it makes sense, though, because if it is true that we can choose the person to be the conduit for our lives, like if we choose our parents,
right? Are you there? Hello.
I'm sorry. Did we lose somebody? This is Scotty. Greetings, ladies.
I hear you, Scotty, but I don't hear Black Rose.
Yeah. I see her.
Do you hear her?
No, I see her number.
Oh.
On the board. I wonder if something's going on with her phone.
Okay, let me check. Hold on.
Okay. And you are tuned into the Lotus Place. I hope everybody's doing all right tonight and enjoying the program that we bring to you here on Black Talk Radio. Occasionally these technical issues do arise and we ask that you be patient while we work through them.
Scotty?
Yes.
You still can't hear her. It's a phone difficulty, I guess, because I can hear you, you can hear me, but we can't hear her.
I muted her again to see if that works.
Okay.
All right. She may need to hang up and call back in. Sometimes that does. Yeah,
okay.
She just dropped off. So if you could
keep
bringing bringing that good information until she rejoins us.
Okay. All right. I certainly will. Okay. Well, what I would like to do, I'm going to send her a text.
There she is. We can hear you.
Better?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, I don't know what happened. I mean, I can hear both of you just fine. I don't know. But anywho, thanks, Scotty. Thanks, Featherlight. Black Rose is back. Yes.
All right.
So, anyway, I think we were talking about, we just completely digressed into a whole nother realm of topics. Went all into reincarnation and coming back, and zodiac sign and personality. But were you getting ready to say something before we go into, I know you have a point.
No, that was just a thought that scampered across my mind.
That you were going to share. Well, I'll tell you what, let me give out the phone number for people to call in. 641-715-3660, and let me just give that again. 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032, and you can press pound if you would like to share a comment. And we would also love for you to go on the Black Talk Radio Network webpage and click the donate button to donate to the Black Talk Radio Network so that we can continue to bring you these lively shows, not just here at the Lotus Place radio show, but also the other awesome and informative shows that we
broadcast throughout the day. For instance, Time is Awakening, Handel, Abolitionist Radio. Just tune in. Go onto the webpage. You will see a list of radio programs that I'm certain you will find some type of interest in, for sure, because we're bringing you the real here at Black Talk Radio Network. We are the black media, so we have to tell our stories. We have to be the modern day griots, all of us. Record the history, share the history, disseminate the history. Indeed. So we are celebrating Marcus Garvey today. Of course, we'll talk more about Marcus Garvey. I want to hear the clip of one of his most powerful speeches, and this is going to be one of my new quotes taken into the rest of my life. A quote from Marcus Garvey. Let me just read this. I just have to read this because I love this. I know you'll love it. Says the light.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So Garvey is speaking to the people.
And to the people.
Says, if you want, yeah, to the people. Out to the people. If you want joy and you want sunshine, it is before you abundantly in nature. I made the selection of the sunshine, the beautiful sunshine. I made a selection to laugh with the moon, to laugh with the stars, and to sing with the birds of the forest and of the wilderness. Isn't it beautiful? That's my
I love that. It makes me think of being outside in nature. I love it.
I know. I love it. You would love it. Oh, my God. That's like just my new quote.
Yeah. You can say that in the morning and have a great day.
You know what? Yeah. That I need to frame that right up under my Marcus Garvey painting that I purchased from the Slave Haven Museum in Memphis, Tennessee. Yes,
right.
Indeed. I love Slave Haven.
Right.
If you're ever in Memphis, go to the Slave Haven Underground Railroad Museum downtown on North 2nd Street. Listen, let me give out my condolences to all the people in Louisiana, because that's our neighboring state, and they are flooding. I mean, it's like tens upon thousands of people have been displaced.
Wow.
I think it's up to like 6 or 7 people that are dead.
Mm.
I mean, in fact, I saw a quick clip. Not a clip, but what is it? It came in my news feed. This flood, they're saying, is almost worse than Katrina.
Oh, my
The dying stuff
on
the Yeah, Hurricane Katrina. Yeah. It's bad. Need to find out a way to maybe send some supplies and stuff. So I suppose maybe some people will come here. I think it's like in the Baton Rouge area primarily. But I did see some people, of course, that were providing rescue and praying with people. So we just want to send out our thoughts and prayers, and we also need to send any type of help to me. I'm not sending anything through the Red Cross or United Way, though.
No.
I will send mine directly.
They are off my list.
I never did like them anyway. It was always something about them. Always something about them. So,
It's all a lie.
It's just a mirage.
It's just a mirage.
Just a mirage. So, I did see this story. I just have to mention this also before I get into another clip. In speaking on Black Talk and Black Thought tonight, Nate Parker, okay, Nate Parker is a young brother. He made his debut in Denzel Washington and Oprah Winfrey's, what was it, the Debaters? The Great Debaters.
Oh yes.
That film. So Nate Parker. So if you don't know, he secured a multi-million-dollar deal at the Cannes Film Festival to produce the Nat Turner film.
Okay. Yeah.
So I believe initially he was like raising money for this film, and then Fox Studios decided to fund it, and there were some questions about that, because people were like, well, I mean, you were able to raise the money, you know, people in the community were
ready to fund the film, but for whatever reason, maybe for distribution purposes, he opted to to sign a contract with Fox Studios. So, with that said, so now that this Nat Turner film is supposed to be released, all of a sudden this old college rape case that Nat Parker and his roommate, who I believe also has been assisting with the film in some fashion, now this whole college rape case deal has come to surface. And so Nate Parker apparently was acquitted of charges because he had previously had consensual sex with the female, but the other guy did not. So the woman is saying that they raped her while she was inebriated and passed out. So Nate Parker was acquitted of the charges because he had previously had a sexual encounter with this person. But the other guy, I think he served like 10 months because he had not. So now this story is coming to surface. And so you have some feminists that are saying, we shouldn't support this movie because he's a rapist. So I want to hear what people have to say on that story. If you have some commentary on that, that would be great to hear what people have to say about that. Do you feel like you should not support this film now because of this rape case or what? Do you have any comments on that story, Featherlight?
Well, I definitely would not boycott the film over that issue, because obviously from the records he was acquitted. They had a relationship, consensual sex. Mm-hmm. I see no crime here. The crime I see is them getting ready to make a hullabaloo out of him making this movie, and they want to tag on to something. And hey, this will be good. Let's tarnish his name, and start up a big mess so nobody will go see his movie. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, really.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like in college, and it's like in the past, and it seems like somebody just went and let me see what I can get, whatever you can on him. You know how they do. You know, deep. Let's stop this movie. I mean, you know, because if he's directing it, and I hope it doesn't get, you know, too twisted from the truth, you know, the facts, you know, Hollywood, how they weird. It may be something they don't want to be shown, you know, black folks uprising, you know, fighting.
Well, they don't even have to look on TV for that, though. They're uprising in Milwaukee.
Well, I mean, killing whites.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
kind of scares them.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, and let me also mention with this story too. So, the brother of the victim is the one that has started coming out and speaking about Nate Parker, because sadly and unfortunately his sister committed suicide. Mm-hmm. So my sympathies go out to the family also, because I know it's hard. But I don't know, but I can imagine it's very, very, very disturbing for rape victims to continue life, perhaps if something like that happens. I mean, I don't know what that would feel like, because it affects people in different ways.
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm. Some people can overcome it and help others. Some people forget about it and hold it in.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can't go on. So,
and from what I understand, I don't know. I can't see when. Yeah, she ended her life several years ago. So we don't know if, and this incident happened in college, and so we don't know what other issues that she had compiled on top of that. How was she dealing with life in general, you know? Mm-hmm. So to say that it's his fault, which, you know, I'm sure that's how they're kind of making it to be, he said he just found out about it just recently, and of course he's
you know, upset about it and you know, concerned about it. Mm-hmm. You know, those are just my kind of random thoughts. Not the whole thing. I'm going.
Oh, I'm most definitely going. I'm going for sure. So, moving right along.
Pause. Mm-hmm. You know, when a black director comes out with what appears to be a blockbuster, some kind of mess always rolls up. Have you noticed that?
Well, some type of sabotage or character assassination when it comes to
exactly.
This whack-ass system and any type of uprising or movement or elevation that we may have.
Exactly.
I'll give you one name, Hoover. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, J. Right. Edgar, if anybody can get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So,
Walter.
Oh, God. That's
Mommy's Boy.
Pretty unfortunate for Nate Parker, and I hope that this blows over.
Me too.
This happened in 1999 when Parker was a student and wrestler at Penn State. And the co-writer of The Birth of the Nation, that's the name of the film, Gene Celestine, he's a co-writer. That was his roommate. So I sure hope that this blows over. I would love to hear what people have to say, because there may be some people that feel some kind of way about that, and they're like, no, we shouldn't support it. And you know what? Guess what? I'm not going to argue with you. If you don't want to support it, don't support it. I mean, I get it, but I'm going to see it. And don't stand in my way, or else I'm going to punch you in the face if I try to walk up in the cinema and you got a sign up telling me don't go see the movie. You think those white folks be cutting up at those black protests? I'm going to be like them.
Get out of the way.
Darcy, I'm going to see this fine film. Shit. I sure am. So, do you have a poem for us? Let me let you get your poem together. And while you're getting that together, let me just do this right here. Get your poem together for us. Give y'all a little
No
little
Negro
little
leaders
bit.
Have fought for civil rights.
What do you mean?
They have
fought?
Begged for civil rights. They have begged the white man for civil rights. They have begged the white man for freedom. And anytime you beg another man to set you free, you will never be free. Freedom is something that you have to do for yourselves. And until the American Negro lets the white man know that we are really, really ready and willing to pay the price that is necessary for freedom, our people will always be walking around here second-class citizens, or what you call 20th century slaves.
What price are you talking about, sir?
The price of freedom is death.
Malcolm. Brother Malcolm. Thank you, Brother Malcolm. Thank you, Brother Malcolm. El Haj Malik Shabazz. Okay, Feather Light, you're listening to The Lotus Place, and we have Feather Light here, who's going to bring us some black talk poetry. Dim your lights and prepare to hear the words of Feather Light as she comes to the stage and drops her poetry on us. Okay, all right.
You
what you have?
Me. Okay. Oh, these are some lines, if you will, from Wasson Shire, the poetress who did the poetry in the video by Beyonce called Lemonade. So, here we go. My alone feels so good. I'll only have you if you're sweeter than my solitude. You want me to be a tragic backdrop so that you can appear to be illuminated, so that people can say, wow, isn't he so terribly brave to love a girl who is so obviously sad? You think I'll be the dark sky so you can be the star? I'll swallow you whole. It's not my responsibility to be beautiful. I'm not alive for that purpose. My existence is not about how desirable you find me. You are terrifying and strange and beautiful. Someone not everyone knows how to love. Later that night, I held an atlas in my lap, ran my fingers across the whole world, and whispered, "Where does it hurt?" It answered, "Everywhere. Everywhere. Everywhere." Give your daughters difficult names. Give your daughters names that command the full use of tongue. My name makes you want to tell me the truth. My name doesn't allow me to trust anyone that cannot pronounce it right. Every mouth you've ever kissed was just practice. All the bodies you've ever undressed and plowed into were preparing you for me. I don't mind tasting them in the memory of your mouth. They were a long hallway, a door half open, a single suitcase still on the conveyor belt. Was it a long journey? Did it take you long to find me? You're here now. Welcome home. How far have you walked the men who've never held your feet in their laps? How often have you bartered with bone only to sell yourself short? Why do you find the unavailable so alluring? Where did it begin? What went wrong? Who made you feel so worthless? If they wanted you, when they have chosen you? How are you both of these women, both flighty and needful? Where did you learn this, to want what does not want you? Where did you learn this, to leave those that want to stay? At this time, you're begging silently, thinking they couldn't hear you, but they smelt it on you. You must have known that they could taste the desperate on your skin. You can't make homes out of human beings. Someone should have already told you that. Namaste.
Wow. Namaste. Oh my goodness. Wait, let me get the... Wow, what a powerful reading and a powerful way that you read it.
Well, thank you.
Now, what's
her
name? I just
pulled this up today. Warsan Shire.
Warsan.
Warsan, and it's spelled W-A-R-S-A-N. So it may be Warsan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yada.
You got to use your full tongue to say it. Shire. 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 All right. Well, I love that. I love that.
I have people, my legal name, I make sure people say my entire legal last name. Even though it's just four letters, I want them to say the law. It's Zola, not Zola. Use your full.
Zola.
Yes.
Zola. Okay, well, Zola, we need to take a quick break and we can come back. And we want to hear from you because I just love that reading. I love it. That was just so beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank you
so much once again. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Lotus Place.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
May I say something to you to give you a true knowledge of yourself and life, so that the same glory and success attained by other men who understand themselves may be yours? Man in the full knowledge of himself is a superb and supreme creature of creation. When man becomes possessor of the knowledge of himself, he becomes master of his environment, the captain of his own ship, the director of his own destiny, the accomplisher of his own ends. Man should understand himself because man is full of knowledge, and this knowledge is a gift of nature. When Mother Nature created man, she deprived him of nothing. He was given the faculty of understanding all things around him. This faculty for understanding has not been taken away from him. None of his senses have been taken away from him. So there is no excuse for the black man in lacking the knowledge that man is used to beautify the world and produce all that he needs for his happiness and civilization. Look the world over and whatever you see in it that is pleasing to man, contributing to man's comfort, to his needs and to his satisfaction, it is but the work of man. Man blessed with the knowledge of himself and the understanding of all things around him. If you are able to live with the knowledge of yourself and with the greater knowledge of nature, you must know what is good and what is not. You must know what is finite. You must know that which is material, physical, and otherwise is at your disposal to create or otherwise use. If we leave America and go over to the east to Japan, they will be telling their fellow citizens of Japan of the wonderful accomplishments of the Japanese people, proving that man is moving onward as time moves on. But you have hated yourselves as you have done in previous years. You have shown malice, prejudice, and hate to each other. And the result is that while other races have made progress, while India has made progress towards nationalism, while Ireland has made progress towards republicanism, while the whole world has made progress in man's accomplishments, you still stand fighting yourselves, dishonoring yourselves, showing no disposition toward that higher life so that you will be abundantly blessed. So reflect and think that you were created for some purpose other than exhibiting malice toward your neighbor or fellow men of your own race. What a pity it is that we cannot stand united without a written law. There is no written law compelling other races to stand together. They are brought together by the gentle touch of nature. The unwritten law of nature causes them to stand together on all occasions. So wheresoever you find them in the field, that one gentle touch of nature causes them to stand together, if need be, die together. But with a black man, you can preach to him from the pulpits. You lecture from the platforms, from the byways and the hedges. The spirit of cooperation, but he will not cooperate. You talk to him gently, you try talking harshly to him, he still will not cooperate. The result is that he falls prey to those who understand themselves and walk through the world making you their serfs and slaves. you must acquire an understanding of yourselves. Look around you. See the smiling pictures of nature, the beautiful hedges, the wonderful mountains, the wonderful vegetation all around. But because of your disposition to each other, you live in suffering, in want, in penury, and in debt. You lack the gentle touch of nature, love for each other. You hate yourselves. Black men and black men, and what is wrong with you? Why have you no affection for yourselves? Could I hope to see you living among yourselves as the people I've spoken of? Living in charity, love, and in sympathy with each other? It can be done. I wonder if you will adapt that course. Isn't it easier to enjoy prosperity than to live in ignorance and darkness? Why select the worst out of nature? Nature never gave pain, suffering, and death to the world. It was man himself who selected death, pain, and sorrow. I wonder if I cannot inspire you to select between good and evil. Let me impress upon you once again that whatsoever your hardships may be, whatsoever your difficulties in life, they are your own selection. And so if you encourage them, if you husband them and take them to your bosom, they will abide with you. Nature will not take them away from you as Mother Nature did not give them to you. She is not responsible for your sorrows. Mother Nature represents all that is beautiful. She gave you the highest personality in the realm divine. Your sorrows are your own. If you want joy, if you want sunshine, it is before you abundantly in nature. I made a selection of sunshine, the beautiful sunshine. I made a selection to laugh at the moon, to laugh at the stars, and sing with the birds of the forest and of the wilderness, to join in the rhythmic music of the winds that sing from east to west and from north to south. Had I selected sorrow, I would have been dead a long time ago and been without that which would send me into the presence of the divine, because I would have lived not with the knowledge that is divine. We must acquire the higher knowledge of life. Black men and black women, will you get the knowledge that the white man has that causes him to be leaders and masters in the world? They are not gods with a peculiar source for understanding the world around them. They have only given expression to the knowledge of their humanity and been able to use and conquer all to their satisfaction and glory. And that is why they are always greater than you in every community that you find them. Isn't it strange that wheresoever the white man is found, he takes precedence over you? Why is that so? Answer that for yourselves, black men and black women. Wheresoever you come in contact with the white man, you always have to go down in defeat before him. Whether it be in England, in France, or in America, you always have to go down to the white man, and yet he has two eyes, two feet, two hands, same passions, same senses and feelings as you have. Your feet are not put on opposite sides, now your hands turned around the other way. But it's because you fail to use your will, your knowledge, and your mental faculty to the point where you will enjoy life around you. I'm only here and not in the gutters and in the pond of despair because I use my intelligence. And I swear that no man alive shall ever use his intelligence in understanding the works of nature more than I. I shall rise as high as he ascends. I shall meet him on the same platform of mental equality and fight him till thy kingdom come, because nature created us equal. I want you to make up your mind, as I've made up my mind years ago. Make up your mind that you will rise to the knowledge of your soul. Because of your ignorance, you cannot understand and decide between good and evil. You don't know whether you're doing right or wrong. With a greater knowledge of life, you're able to appreciate all things around you. I'm able to gather you here because I understand you. Understand your neighbor, your wife, your children, and you will be able to live in harmony with each other and get the best out of life.
Yes, we are back here at the Lotus Place Radio, and that was the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey. We're celebrating his born day on today. Marcus Garvey. Yes, and before that, if you're just tuning in, we had some powerful poetry read by Featherlight, Aswan Shaiir. Did I say her name properly?
Yes. Yes, Aswan. I like that.
Yeah. What was one of your favorite lines from the piece that you read?
How far have you walked for men who've never held your feet in their laps? I like that. That says a lot.
Wait a minute. Now, say that again. How far have you walked?
How far have you walked for men who've never held your feet in their laps? How far have you walked for men who've never held your feet in their laps?
Let me give you a foot rub, baby. That's another level.
Or figuratively, just giving your all to someone, and they're not giving you anything. They're not
exactly
into you like you're into them. Oh, I love that quote that G used to have at the end of her emails. At the end of her emails, her quote read, "Never make someone a priority if to them you are an option. If I am an option, if I'm a maybe, I might, and all of this and that, that's okay. That's okay." Mm-hmm. Because I want to be with someone who adores me and who wants to be with me, because I'm not trying to hold any prisoners, babe. I don't take any prisoners.
Oh, no. I get the slight attention, you're not happy with me.
Baby, you can go on. I promise you, I will not talk. Trust. Mm-mm. One thing you do not have to worry about is me stalking you. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. So, anyway. So, yes, that speaks volumes. Certainly does.
Okay, I like this one, too. This is, "All this time, you were begging for love silently, thinking they couldn't hear you, but they smelt it on you. They smelt it on you. You must have known that they could taste the desperate on your skin." You don't know. You know how you kind of seem to be attracting the same kind of person? They smell it on you. They smell the desperation.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are hunters.
Certainly.
Yeah, that's what they do. They're hunters.
Mm-hmm.
And they know
prey
they
on people.
Some people don't even know that they're being hunted.
Oh my God. They don't even know they're marks.
No.
So that was powerful, as well as, of course, I already mentioned what was my most my favorite piece, my favorite quote from the Marcus Garvey piece, that I will carry on into my existence. "I am choosing to laugh with the moon and to laugh with the stars and sing with the birds of the forest and of the wilderness." I don't have to say it like Marcus Garvey. But yes, indeed, I love that. I love that. Let me read a quote by Dr. Martin Luther King, what he said about Marcus Garvey. Peace be upon him as well. Marcus Garvey was the first man of color in the history of the United States to lead and develop a mass movement. He was the first man on a mass scale and level to give millions of Negroes a sense of dignity and destiny and make the Negro feel that he was somebody. And this is what Dr. Martin Luther King wrote in his letter from in his letter, but this was just a quote from him. And Dr. King is the author of the letter from the Birmingham jail, which is a powerful letter. If you have not read the letter, you can Google it. Just read that entire piece. Powerful. Let me read a quote by El-Haj Malik Shabazz, better known as Malcolm X, to some known as Malcolm X. "Every time you see another nation on the African continent become independent, you know that Marcus Garvey is alive. Had it not been for Marcus Garvey and the foundations laid by him, you would find no independent nations in the Caribbean today. All of the freedom movement that is taking place right here in America today was initiated by the work and teachings of Marcus Garvey." Of course, Malcolm's parents were Garveyites. So Malcolm had that in his blood, baby. He had blood. Indeed.
Came up young through it.
Yes. Let's see. I want to read just this quick piece. Came across this article, "Five Things every black person should know about Marcus Garvey. He led the largest and most influential movement to advance black people's interests in the world. Marcus Garvey founded the Universal Negro Improvement Association, UNIA, the most dynamic mass movement across territorial borders among the African peoples during the 20th century. According to International UCLA Education, by the early 1920s, the UNIA could count branches in almost every Caribbean and sub-Saharan African country, with membership swelling to 8 million people.
Wow.
Yes.
8 million.
More than just an activist, yes, Marcus Garvey also had the business acumen to create financial solutions for the global black community. He built huge businesses nationwide as well as international. He encouraged entrepreneurship and got millions of black people buying from black-owned businesses. Not only did Mr. Garvey start businesses that employed thousands of black people, but he would also offer stock in the companies, promoting black ownership and generating additional wealth for the community. And Marcus Messiah Garvey was revolutionary not only because of his ideas, but also because of his ability to communicate them to a large number of people. Mr. Garvey published several periodicals and newspapers, most notably The Negro World, Black Man, and The Black Man. According to BlackBusinessNetwork.com, The Negro World eventually reaching a circulation of 500,000. The newspaper was printed in several languages. It contained a page specifically for women readers, documented international events related to people of African ancestry, and was distributed throughout the African diaspora until publication ceased in 1933. His publications directly influenced the minds of many black leaders to follow.
How interesting.
Yes.
Wow. He did have a sharp business acumen.
Oh, indeed. And, you know, it said that he didn't really like to listen to other people, which, you know, in some cases people may say was to his detriment. But one measure of the influence of Marcus Garvey's philosophy and accomplishments is the impact on the leaders directly influenced and inspired by him. Garvey has inspired every major black movement of the 20th century, both in Africa and the Americas. Notably, followers of Garvey's ideology include Minister Louis Farrakhan, President Nnamdi Azikiwe, Elijah Muhammad, President Kwame Nkrumah, Kwame Ture, President Jomo Kenyatta, Nelson Mandela, President Patrice Lumumba, President Julius Nyerere, Malcolm X, and Martin Luther King Jr.
They are
only a few examples of leaders both on the African continent and in the United States who credit Marcus Garvey's philosophy and accomplishments as their inspiration, including mine. And Black Rose. Okay.
She used to always talk about Marcus Garvey.
Marcus Garvey's work and philosophy has been so transformational that it is directly responsible for many African nations' independence from European colonizers: Ghana, Kenya, Nigeria, Tanzania, and most of the CARICOM member states can attribute their independence in part to the teachings of Marcus Garvey, the Honorable Marcus Garvey. According to BlackBusinessNetwork.com, inspired by his ideas, over 30 African countries have declared their freedom. And many sport Marcus Garvey's red, black, and green colors in their flag. This includes Ghana, the first sub-Saharan nation to gain independence, which honors Marcus Garvey with the black star in its flag. What an impact he made in the world. He's still making on the world.
Yes, the Honorable Marcus Garvey. We love you, and we certainly appreciate all of your teachings, the blueprint laid, and there's so many followers still throughout the world. You know, Queen Mother Moore.
Queen Mother Moore up in New York, mm-hmm. She was a follower of Marcus Garvey. In fact, she left Louisiana because she was a part of his Louisiana chapter, which there were a lot. I think at one point Marcus Garvey had, Marcus Garvey's UNIA had a membership in Louisiana that surpassed all other states right there in Louisiana. Mm.
Oh, really?
Yes, and so Queen Mother Moore heard Marcus Garvey speak, and then she followed him to New York.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
What an impact he made on her.
I think I would have packed up my bags and followed him, too.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And you have that knack of seeing that specialness in people.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would have been like, look, I just got to go. I got to go. I'm, look, where do I sign up?
Yeah.
For real. So, yep. So August 17th, 1887 was the day Marcus Garvey was born. And he transitioned June 10th, 1940. And, you know, it was that same old J. Edgar Hoover harassing Marcus Garvey, what brought Marcus Garvey down.
Mm-hmm.
J. Edgar Hoover. And then they hired some black man. I think his name was Wembley or something like that. I can't recall his name right now. But he was the black agent that infiltrated the UNIA and brought Marcus Garvey down. You know, they always got to find some, what they say?
Coonery.
Yeah. It's always a coon for hire. Always a coon for hire. So, but anyway, if you have some thoughts that you would like to share in regards to the Honorable Marcus Garvey, you can give us a call and share your thoughts and comments. Let me give out the phone number again. It's 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032. And we'd like for you to go on to the Black Talk Radio Network page and donate to keep these shows coming to you live. So
I have a comment, if I may.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was just talking about Marcus Garvey 2 days ago on my program. It didn't even dawn on me, man, this week is his birthday. I just been so busy. But one of the things that I had mentioned about Marcus Garvey is that newspaper that he had and that he was a publisher, and how just how he was able to do everything, every great thing he did by mm-hmm. black folks coming together and putting their pennies together. And he was able to
could really bring people together,
right, and created those businesses and didn't have to go to a bank or to any white supremacists
right.
and say, can I get a loan so I can start a business for
right.
us and stuff like that, and
so
and then the Black Panther Party as well, you know, and I think they were influenced by him, but primarily by Malcolm X. But Malcolm X grew up under the teachings of Marcus Garvey.
That's right.
But they had a newspaper, a national newspaper, just like Marcus Garvey did, and they were able to fund all of their survival programs by the sale of their newspaper. And that just really inspires me in the work that I'm trying to do without having to rely on white people to fund the media work that we are doing. And so I'm just inspired when I look back in history and see all the great men that came before us, but most importantly, they stressed that we have to stick together, we have to work together, we have to put our resources together to be able to do for self, to be an independent people. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, thank you,
thank
Scotty.
You,
and
Scotty.
You know what, you made me also think of how his teachings also impacted oh my God, I just drew a blank right quick. But Elijah Muhammad, because they used the newspaper as well to fund,
right,
to fund their operation. Exactly, exactly. So he laid their blueprint for us. We have to continue that. And that's why it just baffles me when people don't know what to do, because the blueprint has been laid out for us. I mean, people like Scotty that has this network, and so many revolutionary people that are doing things out here. If we could just pull it all together, which it may not all mesh all together at once or well, or maybe not at all, but if we could just all do our part, just pick up those teachings, continue the teachings of people like the Honorable Marcus Garvey, Dr. Sabi, Malcolm X. We have a caller. Let me see here. We're going to take a quick break. Let me see, but let me just go ahead on and bring you in, because I think I know who this is. Astro?
Yes, good evening, sisters and brothers. How are you out there?
Namaste, Astro. How are you?
How are you,
Astro? All right, black and only attack. Astro Ross, full effect. Hey, cuz, Marcus Garvey is definitely a trailblazer and a visionary, revolutionary. You're talking about what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to really to decolonize your mind and the thoughts, the actions, and the behavior will flow like water from a stream.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so mm-hmm. Marcus Garvey mm-hmm. said, liberate the minds of men and women, and ultimately you will free the bodies of men and women.
Mm-hmm.
So just like the Parliament Funkadelic said, free your mind and your ass will
mm-hmm.
follow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when the people who don't have the solutions that capitulate to white supremacy, to the oppressor, it's because their mind's eye sees the world, the universe, through the eyes of their oppressor. It's only natural once you are oppressed so long that you identify with your oppressor.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Somebody asks you simple questions, like when they finally break down and they cry to the heavens, what do we do? What is the
mm-hmm.
solution? Or
mm-hmm.
they put the burden of proof or the burden mm-hmm. of explanation on someone who has a vision and believes in solutions and not backing down to tyranny, white supremacist terror that's murdering and disappearing and raping and stealing from us life, liberty, and happiness. The answer is simple. Justice, truth, liberation, independence, and most importantly of all, righteous action. So when you liberate your mind,
mm-hmm.
you can do these things.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
People are distracted right now with the Olympics, because in the heart of the falling empire, bread and circuses keep the hungry masses at bay.
Ooh.
These gladiator games that go nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But keep the spotlight on the spectacle instead of the realities of the people. Especially
right.
in Rio, when we're under constant and brutal attack from state terrorism, because we're black.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Astro, let's take a quick break, and I want to come right back with where you are, and then we also have Brother Brown. I want to play this music video on Marcus Garvey that Brother put together also, and I mean, he just brings it on this one. We come back from the break. What you mentioned about the Olympics, I just want to touch on that just quickly as we go to break. And you know what I thought of today in terms of the Olympics or yesterday? I said, you know, we're killing it as black folks at the Olympics, but they're killing us on the streets daily here. And it's just
mm-hmm.
absolutely ridiculous.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Talk Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
I am a child of the mafia. Let me say first, let me give up for Anna to Gavi. Another one for Annabelle and the African army. From Shaka Zulu to Nandini Maroon to the Asian Revolution when them use the Badoon. And we can't forget Queen Azinga, Nana, Naya, Santua. March with the spirit of African warrior. And them a train and I beloved them stamina for nothing. Remember the Zambarias. Woman them a plan and I develop war strategy. So when the time it starts, it's gonna be tragedy. Africa, we know who no one for the black love. Black power, black supremacy. Bust off my gun like Selassie pan Italy. Out of my mouth I just had baby for holding. Africa, for the African people only. Complete separation is where God be told it. So me say ya baby for holding. This a for the black liberation. A baby for holding. No one can see ya put up on no right. A baby for holding. For the African liberation. A baby for holding. Habibi for holding, Habibi for holding. See it, yaka yo. Hey yo, I rise like the Kepra, on with my scepter from the temple of Dendera, fifth Sephiroth. That means destruction is imminent, compensating. For the swing of the pendulum, from the conversation I'm decapitating the reverend. For blaspheming against the divine feminine, comedic principles. Yeah, my pioneers at the pinnacle, manifesting the physical. Times in the essence, this moment is critical for this African liberation. And what are you gonna do? Are you gonna put up your arms? Or you gonna pick up your arms? Get on your knees and read you a song. Saying the Lord is your shepherd, as if you a sheep. If you a man, you better get on your feet, naga. Cause we are warring these streets and we killing the beast. They ain't waiting on the night time to come in the sheets. It's in a broad daylight now, they come as police. If you see them in your hood, it's a security breach. No justice, then it'll never be peace. Fuck the holies, fuck Lamar fucking Derek Wilson verdict. Fuck goddamn George Zimmerman. Fuck injustice everywhere. Fuck corruption, fuck corruption. Fuck, goddamn it. Listen, man, yo, we done with y'all, yo. It's on.
Oh, I love that. He said, if you see them come in the neighborhood, it's a security breach. Damn it. And that's what I'm talking about, because guess what? They are not protecting any victims. In fact, they are creating victims by coming in our neighborhoods and killing
exactly.
us.
Exactly.
We do
they
not need you.
Problem.
There is no crime being committed other than the crime that you're committing, which is flat out murder, aggravated, premeditated. That's all it is. That's all it is. Look, Astro, I'm going to bring you back in, and Brother Brown, I'm going to bring you back in. But let me get Featherlight in. You have a recipe for us, right?
Yes, I do. In honor of Dr. Fabi and his teachings, we're going to try to give some health tips on the show on a regular basis. So I'll give you guys a minute to grab a pen and paper, because this is a fabulous, healthy, electric recipe, and I know you're going to love it. We are phototrophic in nature, so we need minerals that are found in the soil to function, you know, at our optimum performance, because it's like eating sunlight, and that's why we need electrical foods. Our taste buds have been hijacked, people, and we can retrain ourselves. When we say, I don't like that, it's better, you know, we can retrain our taste buds. Our taste buds are not in charge. Our stomach is in charge. The taste buds, you just get to them, they just speak louder. So don't let them control you. I was giving everybody a chance to get the pens and paper. Okay, remember, foods without seeds is not really food. If the food does not have reproductive capabilities, how can it produce reproductive support for your body? Men, remember that, because these GMO foods kind of mess you up. All right, here we go. This is a recipe for alkaline home-style fried potatoes. And it's so good. Okay, first, you need 3 green bananas. And some people may call them plantains.
They're the green ones now, not the yellow bananas that you just peel and pop in your mouth. These are the ones next to, they're usually next to them, and all of them are green, and they're firm, and they're big. They're very, very firm, okay? Mm-hmm. So get about three of those. Okay. 1 teaspoon of sea salt, or you can use the pink salt, Himalayan salt. Himalayan. I prefer that, but, you know, either one. Don't use that table salt that they make in the laboratories. Don't do that. Grapeseed oil or sunflower oil. It's just as good. It's lighter. Less expensive. Some chopped onions and some chopped green peppers. Oregano. 1 teaspoon of oregano and 1/2 teaspoon of cayenne pepper.
Okay.
Okay. Now, you can use a little bit more or less of cayenne pepper. Just, you know, if you use hot, cayenne pepper, think of it as to how you would normally put it into your regular potatoes, okay? All right, here's the preparation. Now, these bananas are very, very firm, and they don't peel very easily, so it's a method. Cut off the tips and the ends of both of the bananas, okay? Before you do that, though, to make them easier to peel, while you're getting everything together, you season, put the bananas in a pot of hot water, and that'll soften the skin, so it'll be very easy to peel. Okay, just a little tip. Okay, so only soak them for just a few minutes while you're getting everything together. All right, so soak them, cut the ends off, then you slice the bananas down sideways, lengthways. Okay, just slice it. Okay, then you peel it. You'll have to take your thumb, make sure you wash your hands very, very well, under the nails and all of that. You'll have to take your thumb in there and then pull back the peeling. That's how you peel it. It's going to be, you know, a little tough. Okay, take your finger in, slip it in, and pull it back. Do your bananas, okay? Now, slice them very thin, like you're just slicing a banana. Just slice it very thin. Okay, now, lightly coated slices with your sea salt, your oregano, your cayenne pepper. If you got some garlic powder, you know, that's good. Okay, then, did I say grapeseed oil? Okay, so take a little sprinkle.
Hello, and welcome to the machine.
Okay, take about 2 tablespoons of your oil, sprinkle it on there, get it all seasoned up, kind of shake it up a little bit with your hand, then let it absorb the flavors for about 5 minutes. This is important. Then you take about 2 more tablespoons of oil and put it in your skillet on medium heat. When it's hot, then you add your bananas in one layer. Make sure nobody's on top of anybody else. Put your onions, you know, you cut up your green peppers, tomatoes if you like, same way you would do if you were making some hash browns. And I'm the hash brown queen. So the same way you would do if you were making some hash browns. Put those onions and bell peppers on there real nice. Cook it on one side for about 5-7 minutes, you know, just nice and brown.
So cook them both till they're brown.
Right.
Okay.
Right. The edges are brown. And you're done, just like you would your hash browns. They taste just like hash browns.
And so this would be an electric food. So why is it electric?
Okay, this has no starch. This comes from the ground. This has no starch to clog up your arteries. Okay, this is live. Potatoes, I read a long time ago, potatoes are not
a food
something
to be eaten.
Right.
I don't even think we're supposed to eat potatoes. It's not.
Yeah, we're not supposed to eat some
human consumption.
They were eating potatoes when everything was like, it was some famine somewhere in Ireland.
Yeah, I think it was the Irish potato famine.
Yeah.
And that's how they started eating, because the Russians used potato for vodka or something like that, I believe.
Right.
And,
right.
I think potato is also like a preservative type of, I don't even want to call it a food anymore, but it's like a preservative. I think
it's not really like something we're supposed to be eating.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yes, it's something that I do recall reading that. But thank you for that electric recipe. So it's electric because it doesn't have the starch. It's not the starchy potato. Mm-hmm.
And it's alkaline.
And it's alkaline. Dr. Sabin.
Yeah, that's what we... our body...
bring your body to alkaline.
Alkaline. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that recipe.
So
you'll put that up on the Lotus Place
yes, that is.
Facebook page. Okay, fantastic.
Yes, that is.
Great. I want to bring Ryan back in because he was hitting on some points, and he's always delivering a powerful message about...
Yes, he is.
Our place and time on this earth right now. Brother Astro.
Yes.
Astro Ra
riding the Black Star. So I was speaking about the Olympic Games, which are modern day gladiator games.
Yep.
The Roman Empire kept the toiling, desperate, hungry masses at bay with bread and circuses, blood and carnage, sex and violence. These are indications of not a civilization, but just a society that has modernity, but also tyranny. Mm-hmm. And then so, like, when you look at white people, they are very different from us.
Definitely.
In that they are motivated by two illogical but nevertheless genetically determined drives. One being sex and the other being violence. So that's why those are their two most lucrative exports. The sources of most of their mass media and entertainment. Sex and violence. They'll kill you and they'll fuck you. Not necessarily in that order either.
Hmm.
And then so when we're looking at the Olympics, it's to take that away, to harness that energy, but also take to overshadow all of the realities of the world that's going on right now. And then so, as I was saying before, it's important when we take heed of days like this, when we honor our scholars, heroes, revolutionaries, visionaries, teachers, lovers, who stood and fought valiantly for the human rights of black people like Marcus Garvey. They spend so much time studying us, dissecting us, oppressing us, that we can flip that over.
I believe we can.
And then so when you do that, and you, as Marcus Garvey said, when you liberate your mind, the answers are there.
Oh yeah, they're there.
And the solutions will come. So when somebody, when these empty-headed, capitulating, complacent, soft-hearted Negroes, or even the white devils who hold the purse strings and their mind at bay, ask you, what are you doing, what will you do? They're not ready. They haven't done the work. They haven't done the meditation. They haven't done the spiritual transformation, or even just the basic homework to know that the solutions are already here at our fingertips.
Oh, you gotta say that.
So, nevertheless, the time is now. There's a focus on the Olympics because the empire is crumbling from within, and these devils will destroy the world before they lose control of it.
I know. Yes, they're hanging on.
The skin of cancer is here, and it's eating this wicked system alive.
They're pulling out all stops.
So the answer to the question of what do we do, the answer, the solution is justice. The solution is truth. The solution is liberation. The solution is independence. And the solution is above all else, righteous action. And we don't need everybody.
No, we don't.
Everybody was not ready.
Mm-mm.
Oh, willing. Nope. So the time is now. I agree. I certainly agree with that. And with all that has been happening, and not just over the past few days, weeks, or months, or years, we're talking about all that has been going on. It is far past time. I'm like Malcolm said, we need a, what did he say? We need a, it's already too late philosophy. Because, I mean, it's like, come on, get with it.
Right.
Yeah. What are we waiting on? Can't be waiting on the leader. You already know now. You have to be on
right.
it if you don't
exactly.
know. Oh, my
can't
God.
Use that excuse. Can't use that one anymore.
We need a leader. No. No, we have to be our own leader. So thank you, Astra. Thank you so much for sharing that. His words of wisdom. I love to hear Astra Ross speak. Let's see, Father Light, I know you have a mind, body, and spirit for us, and I do want to come to that. I would like to share this clip from the cousins of Sylvester Smith, Seville Smith in Milwaukee. Seville Smith was shot by cops in Milwaukee, I believe it was Friday, and so over the weekend, you know, there were all kinds of protests and just things going on in Milwaukee. Was very similar to what was what we witnessed in Ferguson after Mike Brown was brutally killed by a cop. And so, of course, you know, people were burning cars and burning businesses, and of course the news came out, corporate media came out and asking people why they burning up their own community. And I'm so glad the people finally said, we don't own none of these businesses, all the black businesses
right.
we're not messing with, we don't own
right.
that, we don't own that, we're not touching uh-huh. the black businesses though, okay. So but what I want to play from the cousin, I'm so happy that these cousins, these family members are especially these young ones that are familiar with this Facebook Live and all of this video and all of this YouTube Live, they are uploading, giving us firsthand accounts of what's really going on. We don't have to, like, try to track these people down to hurry up and get the story out, the real story. These people are coming out with this, with what is what really So now, when I first heard about this Seville Smith being shot, the story that I heard was that he was in a stolen car, police chased him on foot, the boy jumped out the car, never heard about the other two people that were in the car with him. Seville Smith jumped out the car, police began to chase him, they said he aimed the gun at the cops and then they shot him. And he's a criminal and this and that, you know, talked about his record and all of this. But in this video, now one of his cousins is saying that, first of all, that was not a stolen car. It's his car. It's registered to him. And the police had already been harassing him and stopping him everywhere, had locked him up for 10 months with no charges. Cool. And then she goes on to talk about how Seville Smith had just won a case against the cops. So let me just play this video so you won't say, oh, she, I don't know what she's talking about. This is what the cousin says. So let's hear this.
Welcome to the Advice Show, media with a common sense approach. So the family of Seville Smith spoke out on Facebook about the situation with him and the police. Now, you're going to hear in this video, they're going to speak on Seville Smith having a concealed carry permit. They're going to speak on a lawsuit that he had against the police department, which the media failed to actually put that out there, and how they have been harassing him ever since that he had filed this lawsuit, kind of like Corin Gaines. It's like when you file lawsuits, all of a sudden now you become a target of police. Well, anyway, let's go ahead and roll the clip.
Out here, I appreciate everybody that came, everybody that gave their condolences to my auntie, to us. We really appreciate all the love and support. We are not supporting the burning buildings and all of that. Like, they taking shit way too far. But as far as rioting, I'm 100% behind it, because that shit weak that they did to my little cousin, and he ain't deserve that. All he did was wrong, and they failing to report everything else that's going on. As far as him going to jail, and them not even having a case on him, had him there for 10 months steady trying to pin cases on him. When they let him out, they were steady harassing him, constantly harassing him at gas stations, wherever he went, calling him by his first name. You know what I'm saying? They not reporting none of that stuff, and he had a lawsuit against them and won, but they not reporting none of that. They just, you know, they gonna say what the fuck they want to say on the news. They forgetting to report that he got a 2-year-old son, right, and it's the police that killed him.
They gonna do anything to cover that butt.
They failed in a report that he got a 2-year-old son that lives with him, that he's there for every single day. They out here making him look like he's just some damn hoodlum and some villain. He ain't no angel, but he ain't deserve none of this shit that happened to him, period, at all. And that shit that they saying about him is false and inaccurate as a motherfucker.
Then keep saying that he's a felon and he's not.
And he's not a felon. Where they getting that from? And they won't even my auntie still ain't seen her son's body. When they took her to view his body, these dirty motherfuckers showed her a picture of his dead body. They still didn't let her physically see his body. That's just how dirty them motherfuckers is. They didn't even let her see his body. They took her from the scene over there on 44th and Hour, took her to go see his body, but all they did was bring out a picture of him to identify her son after 4.5 hours of him already being dead. So fuck the police.
The alderman right there.
And then all these people keep coming over here. We don't even know who told the reporters where we at, but my auntie don't want to talk to nobody. Like, she don't want to talk to none of them. And I don't blame her. She don't even, she ain't even none of her to tell them, because she don't even know what's going on. The police not telling her what's going on at all.
And what I'm not understanding is, we are over here grieving, you know what I'm saying? And y'all, the police steady riding past and all that. We are not disturbing nobody or nothing. We did not get complained of for no disturbance or nothing. Like, why is the police riding past over here? We not doing nothing to nobody, but you know what I'm saying? Our family is getting together and grieving. So what is the police steady riding past here for? Like, I'm just not understanding.
And then some journalists came through and took pictures of my auntie and uploaded pictures of her on their report, and without her not even knowing. Like, she did not get them permission to even be over here, first of all. And secondly, taking pictures and shit and uploading them of her. Like, nobody gave them permission to do that. Like, they violating people's privacy. Yeah. Y'all showing up where y'all not wanted. My auntie steady telling them no, she not talking to them. She not giving them no information. And there's nothing to give because she don't even know what's going on. Still. And they steady coming over here.
Then y'all bringing up dismissed cases.
Bringing up old cases,
right,
and shit.
And they been got dismissed because y'all couldn't prove it.
Been dismissed. They talking about he had a gun. Okay, even if he had a gun, he's concealed to carry.
Exactly.
So if he had a gun, and then talking about he turned around and he got shot in his chest. No, you motherfucker shot him in his back while he was running, and it went through his chest.
Exactly.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they try to pin some weak ass gun on him that didn't belong to him. They police so fucking crooked, and they'll do anything to cover up for each other. Like, that's some whole ass shit that they did. And I'm sitting around here watching my little cousin's son running through here playing, and he got to be without a daddy. Like, they got 5 other weapons that they could use before they shoot. They could have tased him and his friend running. Him and his friend running. How he end up shot. And they saying both of them had weapons, so I'm confused. Where his holster? Where was his holster at? They won't give my auntie his holster. Talking about nothing can be released. That's cool. But they didn't even know that he was concealed to carry when she went to the morgue.
Y'all hit him in that accident and he had a lawsuit against y'all. That's what y'all really mad about.
They been had it out for him for the longest. They been fucking with him.
Exactly.
And if he jumped out, he running for his life because you motherfuckers had him in jail for 10 months.
Exactly.
And couldn't even prove she didn't have him sitting there. So when he get out and run, he's running because he don't want to be sitting in nobody's jail for some more bullshit.
Exactly. And then if you know anybody who knows Seville, he's not going to pull no gun out on no police.
Right, Seville ain't about to pull no gun out on no police. That's just some shit he not going to do. That's, anybody could vouch for that. I don't know if anybody that knows him knows he's not about to pull no police. He called my auntie while he's running. That's the only thing he pulled out was his phone. She missed his call, called back. My auntie did not get an answer. 2 minutes later, she get a call saying her son dead.
Like, come on now. Then where is y'all getting this stolen car shit from? He has his own car.
And his car is registered to him, so where is the car stolen at? They just told her they're going to release his property on Monday.
Yeah.
The car belongs to him. Like, y'all come up with some dumbass stories and some dumbass
really
shit to say.
Y'all.
And don't even be knowing what the fuck y'all even be talking about.
Y'all just saying some shit to be saying something. Then y'all going up with the news saying. Don't.
The news going to report and say what the fuck they want to say. They the police. Them motherfuckers work for the police. They the police. They going to report whatever the fuck they feel like is important at the moment.
Got stumped out.
But they not reporting none of the other shit.
Exactly.
That shit foul.
Y'all just trying to make him see.
Man, we all gotta be sitting over here with my auntie trying to keep her sane. It's her only fucking child.
Her only child.
You think you go to the white party?
In green on my life, cause I'm a boss.
Her only child.
Cold. Y'all trying to make him look so bad, and people who really, really knew him know that he's not what y'all trying to make him.
So that's some hoe ass shit.
Fools or thugs.
See, go back.
See, look what
but
this
the type of shit though. But when y'all get through, my nephew was motherfucking CCW. He was allowed to have a carried and concealed. But guess what? By him being a young black man, he knew them police wouldn't expect him to have a carry and conceal. They ain't trying to hear that shit. They gonna instantly scream that he's a thug or he's a juvenile delinquent or he's a menace to society. And that ain't the case. If he was a felon and he was all this shit that you motherfuckers at the media trying to make him out to be, he wouldn't be legally able to carry a firearm.
Right, he's not a felon. If he was a felon, he would never be able to get them CCWs at all. Like, that shit would have never, ever, ever happened. Like, y'all steady posting these weak-ass pictures of him doing that little weak-ass shit. Come on, man. Y'all can stop all that. They supposed to shoot if they feel threatened. They could have tased him. They could have tased him. He's running. Why are you shooting?
But curiosity.
He called his mama in the middle of him running. You know what I'm saying? That motherfucker, my little cousin ain't about to pull out no gun on no police. He way smarter than that. He know better than that.
Curiosity.
If he gonna pull out a gun on them, why the fuck he ain't do it when he got out the car? Why he gonna go running and then pull out a gun? How that sound?
But we gonna kill y'all with this. Curiosity killed the cat. If it was three of them, why ain't three of them dead instead of one?
Exactly.
Curiosity kills the motherfucking cat. All three of them fled the scene. Why is my only motherfucker dead is my nephew. Do that math. A 23-year-old who beat a lawsuit against 7th District and 7th District took him out. So curiosity killed a cat. When y'all get through making these motherfucking statuses and talking about educating and think before you speaking all that shit, think on that. Why they three individuals
dead? And being quiet.
Kill yourself.
Been quiet for way too long, and they talking about the boy that killed my little cousin.
24.
The police officer was 23 years old. He probably went to school with him. My little cousin probably shitted on him before or something. And he too mad. The police was so foul. The way they trying to make my little cousin look.
I'm just gonna stop it right there. You can view that video on YouTube. It's Seville Smith's Family Speaks. So, in the video, the last statement that she made was that the cop that killed Seville Smith is 24 and Seville is 23. So, from what I've heard, is that the two of them knew each other. They went to stay, attended the same school at one time. And this police officer is supposed to have a rap album out. He has a rap album. Yes, this police officer. So, as she mentioned, Seville
Man
Smith
with a badge
won a case because apparently some cops ran into him. They had a traffic accident, and so he sued the police department and won. So that consequently put a target on his back. And so this case reminds me so much of Korean Gaines' case.
Exactly.
It's like
me too.
You file a lawsuit, Eric Gardner, same thing. You go make a report, you file a lawsuit, and you win, then you're a target. So where's the Justice Department? Because if I can find this video on YouTube, I'm sure that it should take... It shouldn't take that much time for the Justice Department to come and interview the family, interview the department, and find out what the hell went down. Because this is not the first time that I've heard of police officers being involved some kind of way with a citizen, and then they end up shooting somebody. You remember that case in Memphis, that police officer? I can tell you a couple of cases just right off the top of my head about some dirty cops in Memphis, three of them off the top of my head. But this one particular case, this cop was having an affair with this woman, and her fiancé was released from jail, came home, and mm-hmm. was with the woman or whatever, something like that. And so the cop gets mad. He comes in and shoots the man in the head.
Yeah.
And gets away with it. I think he got away with that.
Yes,
he was a black cop, so he may not have. They probably sent him to jail. But anyway, so Seville Smith won a case. They've been harassing this young man, apparently, as the cousin stated, just like Korean Gang's cousin shared with people on the YouTube live stream. And so he's running for his life, and they're chasing him. And he calls his mother.
Mm-mm-mm.
And he calls his mother while he's running.
Mm.
Just imagine being a mother and you hearing your son running because the goddamn police chasing him.
Mm.
And, see,
and then they tell you
off,
he's dead.
And then they tell you he's dead. What pisses me off is they come out with these immediate lies on these stories. Because
that's
for the whole weekend, it was all about he had stolen a car. Why do people riding over a thug and a criminal and all of this stuff? He had a right to carry his weapon, and he was not in a stolen car. So why did you stop him if the car wasn't stolen?
Exactly.
And see, they keep lying. Set
up to me.
Yes. It's always lies, like the lie about Korean Gang shot at them. Then we find out, no, she didn't.
Right.
You had the key. Oh, but no, you didn't.
You bust the door.
We don't know who had the cameras on. Oh, yeah, but yeah, they did have cameras, but we're not going to release them yet. This is crazy, silly madness. Just complete madness.
We don't. Sean got shot, but we don't know whose bullet it was. Okay.
We
shotgun
know.
Service is awful.
Right. How long does it take to figure that out with the ballistics? So anyway, let's take a quick break and we'll come back with the mind, body, and spirit. But people, I just want to say this. I keep saying it. Do not believe everything this corporate media puts.
Please.
That's why we have to
please, they are
research,
not our friends.
Read. If you live in a city where something like this happens, interview those people. We have to become our own street interviewers and griots. Get the story. Put the truth out there, because these people will lie. Like they lied and said Mike Brown stole those cigarillos, but then the store owner said he didn't steal them.
Exactly.
So which one is it? And I'll still say this right now today, 2 years later. I don't care if the boy stole the whole store and was walking down the street with the store on his back. That don't give you a reason to stop and shoot him and kill him in the middle of the street.
No, it does not.
Give him his due process. What's all of this? If somebody steal a car or steal some cigarillos or playing in the park, you gotta automatically shoot and kill them.
Yeah. Release your whole entire revolver on them.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you have to share that hot topic of that mannequin story. Yeah.
Oh,
just share that when we come back. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Lotus Place.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
All right, we're back here at the Lotus Place, and we want you to go on to the Black Talk Radio Network page and donate so that we can continue bringing these broadcasts. Because you know you need to tune in so that you can get the real truth. Because we're speaking truth to power here at the Black Talk Radio Network. And let's see, Featherlight, share your hot topic with us. I think you may have had a couple of them.
Okay. This is like a Mother Dunning hot topic here. This is unbelievable. All right. The headline reads, Police Shoot Department Store Mannequin 67 times after mistaking it for a gunman. So this is in Scranton, Pennsylvania. So
This policeman is responding to a call about a quote-unquote suspicious person. Okay, they're in the vicinity of the mall. This is on a Sunday morning. So the police car pulls up, and this is this mannequin that, you know, you throw out mannequins. This is behind Macy's Department Store in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. They threw this mannequin out. Somebody made a call. Oh, I wish I could just pinpoint these folks who make these anonymous calls. So somebody made a call that there was a suspicious man lurking or standing idly. Okay, you can't even stand idly anymore. Okay, so the cop arrives, and he starts to shoot. He shoots this mannequin 67 times. The officer arrived on the scene to find what they believed was a, check this out, a muscular African-American man standing idly behind a dumpster. Okay, so the major, this is from the Scranton Times, the individual in question was dressed in a tan hoodie style sweatshirt and appeared to be naked from the waist down. That's how mannequins usually look. Okay, so the Mason's employee, he didn't want anybody to get his name. He didn't want to be locked up or anything. He said that he had thrown the mannequin out the night before due to, you know, it was faulty. They just threw him away. So this mannequin was just leaning against a dumpster.
A discarded mannequin. A discarded mannequin.
As
and
they
you
do.
Walk up and you think it's someone that could possibly need first aid.
They
may
could
have been
robbed.
Exactly. Could have had a diabetic coma, heart attack.
Exactly.
Anything.
Can't move.
Could have been mugged. Who knows?
Now,
instead
this
of you
is
going
what
to assess the situation, you start shooting.
Shooting. But check this out. This is what he said. When the suspect failed to comply, there's that word again, with the officer's demand, they responded with appropriate force given the perceived nature of what kind of threat leans up against the dumpster.
So they proceeded to shoot with the perceived notion of a threat. The threat of the motionless mannequin.
Yes.
On the ground. First of all, you need to be fired because you can't see.
Yeah.
Okay. And with all that goddamn equipment that Obama said that you all need and that you already receive, I mean, the police don't have any binoculars. You don't have any binoculars.
That's crazy.
But you can zoom in and see. I mean, what's all this about? If you're too damn afraid to walk up on the damn motionless being or item or whatever the hell, the damn mannequin,
right,
why couldn't you just pull out some binoculars? So you
it's
need
crazy.
To be fired. That's ridiculous.
He went on a rage, an absolute rage. It wasn't until they had fired 65 rounds into the mannequin's back, legs, and upper torso that they discovered that their suspect was made of wire and fiberglass rather than flesh and bones. He said, when the individual didn't immediately respond to having been shot, officers realized something wasn't right. Isn't that something?
Now, that's sick. That's crazy. And everybody in Scranton, Joe Biden's hometown, need to be what is going on? Why are you just shooting at a motionless being? If it was a
you
person,
you can't even move. You can't even. If you used to be driving while black, walking while black, running while black, walking while black, clenching your fist while black, making a grimace face while black, reaching for your ID while black, holding up your hand while black. Now you cannot move. You will still
they
get shot. So
person.
There goes the hole in the story of, well, if you just comply.
Right. They could have been a sick person in need of first aid.
Exactly.
And they didn't even walk up on the person to see if the person was motionless. So that's why I think
because they
appeared
to be a muscular African American male. Mm-hmm. It appeared. But look, this is how they're going to solve this puzzle. This is how they're going to prevent this type of quote unquote mishap from happening again. In an effort to prevent further future mishaps, Scranton police authorities are asking local businesses to take extra care to properly disassemble mannequins and other human-like statues prior to disposal. So you're going to make them do all that work because you're stupid. You're going to make them disassemble a mannequin that they're throwing away before they put it out to the garbage because you just might think it's human.
Yeah,
wow.
That's stupid. Well, we only have 20 minutes, so you want to bring us your mind, body, and spirit?
Okay, we're going to talk about music, vibrations, and DNA. What's the relation? First, I want to kind of explain what vibration is, and here's the universal law on vibration. There are about 16 universal laws, so this is the one on vibration. This universal law states that everything in the universe moves and vibrates. Everything is vibrating at one speed or another. Nothing rests. Everything you see around you is vibrating at one frequency or another, and so are you. For us, thought is where it all begins. As your conscious mind dwells habitually on thoughts of a certain quality, these become firmly embedded within your subconscious mind. And so they become the dominant vibration because they're more active. And this dominant vibration sets up a resonance, something that's similar, with other similar vibrations and draws them into your life. That's something what Marcus Garvey was speaking of. It's so sure you think it. You know, they're still thinking with so many people of African descent, still thinking white, Caucasian, slavery mindset. Okay, and it's the dominant vibration, and it's a collective of many people, and it's keeping people down, their thoughts. Oh, we don't even know, you know, all these things, you know, just their thoughts, and then this constant bickering with one another. Okay, so this is easier to understand if you consider that from the metaphysical view, the whole universe is mind, the whole universe. So in turn, your vibrations affect everything around you, your environment, the people, animals, everything, inanimate objects, even the seemingly empty space is affected by us because we are vibrating. You and I, everybody listening, we are vibrating on a certain level, and that's what we said we're doing now. We're taking ourselves to a higher vibration. The feeling at the present vibration. Moment dictates your vibration. Music, as we know, has its own various sets of vibration. So different tones can affect the mind in various ways, depending on the vibrational level. So certain music will lift one to a higher vibrational frequency, and other type music will lower your frequency. The music the media has made popular today is obviously intended to lower the frequency for many in the Western world, particularly melanin-dominant beings. Some colleges encourage students to listen to classical music prior to taking exams to increase their scores, and this has proven to be very effective. So because everything, including you, is vibration and balance, your body and all matter exist at different rates of vibration, and they have their own resonant frequency. So sound and vibration play a very, very crucial role in your life. It affects you physically, mentally, spiritually, your whole, all these levels of your human being. Sound is really, really
important by listening to Solfeggio with headphones, 432 or 528 hertz frequency music, and it's important that you have headphones on to get the complete sound. You can release yourself from stress. You can raise your energy. You can expand creativity and consciousness. You can improve your memory, and you can unlock your potential just by sounds. Now, the solfeggio frequencies is the solfeggio and the binaural beat. The solfeggio, and this is S-O-L-F-E-G-G-I-O, frequencies are notes. And just like all frequencies, some you can hear, but most of them you can't. They can be heard by the human ear and can be found in all types of music. These frequencies have been held sacred for thousands of years, and they are known to have immense healing powers. Now, the binaural beat, that's B-I-N-A-U-R-A-L, they are more popular, and they are the result of two slightly different audio waves or frequencies, and they you hear one sound in your left ear and then the other sound in your right ear. That's why you need a good pair of headphones. So basically what's happening, it's two slightly different tones that are played, then when they're played together, one in your left ear and one in your right ear, your brain processes it as one tone, and then it changes it into another vibration in your brain. And so these binaural beats, depending on which ones you use, because each frequency does different things, takes you to a different level, or has a different effect on your brain. They help people to quit smoking, lose weight, if you're having trouble with alcohol, insomnia, any kind of sleeping disorders, anxiety, and just about any other, you know, psychological issue that you can think of. And all of this is done through listening to different types of music. And again, headphones, you should really get the high quality kind so that you can get a great, really good frequency reproduction, you know, to really get the best effect. So, do you have any questions?
Not at this point. Listening.
Ooh, I can hear you.
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Hello?
All right, let me continue on. The music industry plays a key role in the manipulation of our planet's frequency as a whole. They have the ability to manipulate the artists you invite into your life, and after they have the power to flood our consciousness with the artists who vibrate on a much less meaningful level with a lower vibrational frequency, which is around 40 to 50 hertz frequency. And there have been some who try to buck the system. Those who don't comply, they get ridiculed, outcast. You know, like Jackson Tupac. These people were trying to buck the system of this music industry, the way they're trying to feed this low frequency music to us, and it is affecting the subconscious mind. If you want to see the different levels of music, the different hertz of music, if you will go to, let's see, where did I get this from? Stay in a second. I'll come back and let you know. But there's a chart where you can see the different levels of frequencies. For instance, at a lower frequency like 50, that's apathy. You know, you just don't care. 30 is guilt. You know, 20 is shame, whereas 600 is like peace, 540 is joy, 700 plus, that's way up, that's a very, very high high frequency. That's like omega. That's enlightenment. So everything is energy. Everything vibrates, and everything has a rhythm. The universe is on a rhythm. The universe is full of energy. The universe is shifting right now. That's where everybody is saying, you know, we're going through the shift, because it's going through a certain cycle, and it even has a sound. When people are meditating, they'll say,
"Can you hear me, Satellite?"
That's the sound of the universe, and they're connecting.
Can you hear me?
So vibrations are very, very important. How we see things is always a result of more subtle, invisible vibrations. There's this water test that many people have done. Chemists have performed. You put water from the same place in two glasses, and they have the vibrations at a certain frequency with this glass, and then a much lower vibration with next to this glass, the same type of water. And you take a sample of the water and put it in a put it under the microscope. The first water with the higher frequencies, the particles, molecules look like snowflakes. They're very clear, and they're crystal clear, and they're nicely pointed with shapes. And then the other water with the lower frequencies, it's gloppy. It's all, the colors are all fused in together. It looks very scary. It almost looks like a monster. And it's just proof that vibrations have an effect on everything, even things that stand still, even innate objects, not just ourselves. And
it's Satellite, can you hear me?
We have to be very careful and know that the type of frequencies that we're sending out, that's what's coming back. That's
hello.
What's coming back to us.
I can hear you, Black Rose.
Black Rose.
Oh, you can hear me.
Hear you.
Okay, so that's you that just can't hear me. Scotty can hear me.
You very slightly.
Really? Okay, I think that's just you then, because Scotty can hear me. I called on another phone, and I took my earpiece out, so I'm actually holding the phone up to my ear, trying to listen to this information about the vibrations. Okay, so that's on you. Go ahead.
I can't hear you. It seems like you're talking, but I really can't hear you.
Okay, well, just go ahead on and continue.
Okay.
Continue, she said.
Hello? Feather Light, go ahead on.
She may have dropped off. I'm not
that was
sure.
All of my my presentation about, that's just like part one, because vibrations, they're very, very deep. As I said, you can change your whole life by changing your frequency and by being around those with like frequencies.
Right.
If you around someone who's at a lower frequency. Oh, this is the site that I wanted to share. It's called innertranquility.com. That's INNER tranquility, TRANQUILLITY.com. So this chart, it sort of gives you a visible look of how the different frequencies can affect your moods. And then there are lots of videos on YouTube. All you have to do is type in vibrations.
I know there's been the experiment with the water, like the water in the glass, and then like the sounds that you subject the water to, like it could affect the water. It has a different frequency going on, and it
the water begins to look differently. Like if you speak positive words to the water, it'll have this type of snowflake looking design in the water. The molecules of the water will make a specific design. And if you speak negative or hate words of hate, I think the water even like turns like a darker color.
Yes, it turns a real like dark that. Green, muddy green.
Oh yes, muddy yes. green.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and also you can also write it. You can write it and tape it to the glass. You can write love and peace or love and joy in one glass and then write something horrible. In the demonstration it said, you know, we'll kill you or something like that. But anyway, kill. And it just turned the water really ugly. I mean, it was just looked like a swamp.
Well, I relate that to like your life with the words that come out of your mouth, what you project to the universe. So we have to be really impeccable with our words. That goes back to the four agreements that we talked about. So being a
This service is provided in high definition by free conference call HD.com. Q&A session started.
I think what a lot of Christians miss when you speak, when they say, give it up to God. Yes, you give it up. You're giving it up in terms of like you declare, you state it, you set out a mission and a plan to achieve it. You don't just drop it.
Right.
You have to strategize to reach that goal. Don't just always just say, I'm giving it up to God and don't do anything.
And don't do anything.
You're God. Yes. You have to do the work.
Yes.
And then they miss the whole part about faith without work is dead.
Exactly.
You wait on Jesus to fix it. Right. You have to fix it yourself because Jesus is busy. Well, you have to get up and fix it yourself, people.
Yes.
I love that. I love that about
Let
the vibration.
Let me share just one more quote about the words. The words we choose to use when we communicate with each other carry vibrations. The word war carries a whole different vibration than the word peace. The words we use are showing how we think and how we feel. The careful selection of words helps to elevate our consciousness and resonate in higher frequencies.
All right.
I like it.
And I love it. And catch me in the whirlwind. Thank you so much
for
the light.
Whirlwind.
Baby, catch me in the whirlwind. And if you can't whirl in the wind, then you just may not see me because, hey, I made a selection of the sunshine, the beautiful sunshine. I made a selection to laugh with the moon, to laugh with the stars, and sing with the birds of the forest and of the wilderness. In the words of the most honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey.
Hear, hear.
Peace be upon
you. Namaste.
Namaste. Good night, and we'll be back on next Wednesday.
Namaste, everyone.
Stop black by black.